You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Rick, Weebum, featuring XV.
So this is Radio Free Cybertron for October 20th, 2010. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I have XV, JD Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and Lady Wreck, a.k.a.
Hello.
Amy. We'll probably call her Amy because we forget to call her by her screen name.
It's okay.
So this is our 11th anniversary show. Our 11th anniversary is technically Friday, but we didn't do a show Friday, so we are doing it right now. There's not a whole lot actually going on this week. We don't have anything crazy. It's basically a regular show.
Maybe a little suckier,
but we're giving crap away.
That's right.
Yes.
On a paper plate.
Yes. So we'll get to that a little bit later. What was that, JD?
I was trying to be nondescript, but I'm out of focus, so I was trying to see if...
Okay. I just kind of blew
that. Thanks for pointing out, I was trying to be...
Fortunately, at this resolution, no one can tell when you're out of focus.
Yes, but I can, and it bugs the crap out of me. But thank you. Again, we can move on.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into... I have a confession. Before the show started, I bought my first Fans Project toy.
Oh, you are going to Hasbro hell.
I know. Actually, who? Is it a fans? Yeah, it's a fans project. It's TFX-05 sidearm. So it's what, Firebolt?
Yeah.
Or wants to be.
Inspired by Firebolt.
I wonder if they'll do a special version of this kit to go with the fan club sideburn toy.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Limited to 12 pieces.
Yeah.
Damn it, why is this gun $200?
Yeah. So, as the people watching can tell, I am starting off this week with Dr. Enough, and I'll be working toward a couple of other beverages this week, so.
Wait, what is that?
Dr. Enough. Yep. Okay. The company that created Cheerwine, Mountain Dew, had another beverage called Dr. Enough, and it was supposed to cure hangovers and such. It's rich in vitamins and sugar. So it's excellent.
Because that's what you need.
Vitamins and sugar. And it's awesome. I went with the there's a ginseng version that's cherry flavored that I should have picked up, but this is excellent. I know a guy that drank nothing but this, and it gave him gallstones.
Oh. Yeah. That cannot be good.
No.
Sounds like a lawsuit.
Yeah,
well, imagine how that happened.
Yeah, I know. But
got enough of them.
Yeah. But okay, let's go ahead and jump into the news. Frenzy and Rumble as a two-pack will be released in Japan in what, United?
Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you think about Frenzy?
They're sharp.
Gouty.
Yeah, there's interesting. Isn't there some controversy on what size class toy he is, or has that been settled?
There's controversy on what size class toy it is, because it's not just the cassette from 1984 again.
No, the concern was that it was trying to compare. God, it's so bulky looking. It looks like he's on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Except for his legs.
The mass is removable. It's the pile drivers that go on the arms.
You know?
He is rather cube.
G1 Frenzy didn't have no removable pile drivers.
He wasn't no tank.
He wasn't no tank. He was a cassette. Why isn't this one a cassette?
Maybe. And I didn't have a cassette player. I had an 8-track. Maybe it should have been an 8-track.
Yeah.
Why isn't it a scout-sized transformer that fits into this Soundwave's chest?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, that would kind of suck. Actually, it looks pretty awesome.
It does.
Why is it not a toy that people would not want to buy?
Yeah. No, it looks awesome. I will definitely be picking that up.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, here's the question. When the Hasbro versions come out, which right now the rumor is that there'll be separate releases instead of the 2-pack Japan's getting, who's going to be what color?
Hasbro right now is so nerdy that I bet they won't specify.
I bet whatever the colors are, within a year there'll be a Target big box set with them in reverse colors.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact,
Just I have an idea.
That's
I have
brilliant.
An idea. Yeah, well, why don't they like it? Make it so that, and I don't know if the plastic would work for this, but make it so that, like, if you know, they have those ones where you like, you know, it gets warm or you touch it with like water, it changes colors. That way, you know, it will help the fandom to be able to, you know, those that want to have one color and one the other, then they can just switch back and forth. Never
that
mind.
Could turn out
a bad
so
idea.
Wrong.
Yes.
I know they could turn out so wrong.
Blue,
I was just saying, you know.
Oh, he's blue. Oh, he's blue. Yeah. He's I'm so tired.
I'm you know, I imagine a lot of staining happening from that. And the way that Generations is working out, I'm surprised that there's not like more staining involved in the toys as is. Staining. Yeah, people.
Wait, Kilby, what kind of stains are we talking about here?
You know, gel based, water based,
yes.
Cherokee, all that.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Oh, we've reached the first facepalm of the show.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's not so much to putting it on, but you got to remember to rub it off at the right time, or it just looks like crap.
Yeah. Okay.
Edit that. Edit this. Trim a little off that.
Ender's not been on in a while, but he posted on the T-Formers message board today that he really wants the Reveal the Shield Scout Wind Charger, and I have to agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my nice. God, awesome. It's amazing looking.
It is very nice.
Yes.
After spending several sleepless hours this morning photoshopping it in different ways, I want at least 6 different recolors of it, too.
Yeah.
But do we want a Rook?
Huh. Yeah, actually, I've got the Cliff Jumper keychain here. That having a Rook keychain would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's the thing is my only gripe. It doesn't look like he has hands. He just has fold up guns.
Does he need hands if he has guns?
No, he has hands.
Hands.
Magnet guns fold out and take the place of the hands.
Gotcha.
Oh yeah, they're the hands.
And it's the thing is we're used to them being, you know, like with posts. Forward, but these look like the hands are turned flat. So
it's like just the picture. It's just the pictures on that one gallery because the person doing it can't play with toys correctly. When you yeah. do it right, the hands are oriented more normally.
Oh God! Yeah.
See, having guns for hands is great because you know, except it's wind charger because you know you could see someone like Lockdown walk up to Drift and say, "Shake hands with death." But you know, wind charger, it's like. Oh, great. I just pulled the Dinopods apart instead of taking the Cerebro shells out of them. Great. That was a reference. Thank you. Someone got it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No. Some of the news coming later on. Oh, my God. I will tell you what it is. I'm actually just reading ahead in the news. It's like 3 stories up. Okay, so let's go ahead and so we got new images of wave 3 of the Power Core Combiner repaints. And oh my God, kill them now! My God, they look awful.
Well
then,
yeah.
Just the colors are just
I don't know
so.
What to say.
Yeah, little kind of. They're not even. They're not even, like, wacky colors. They're just
bad. Yeah.
You know, that Bomb Shock recolor totally should have been in G2 Onslaught colors.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, yes! Sorry.
I don't mind the Jet guys repaint so much, though. It's not too bad.
That orange on that red, though, looks really bad on the legs. It doesn't... No.
I don't think that mold can hold the Chopster axe, can it?
It can't. It can't. It can only peg onto the Minicom port on the back.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense for the Grap Monkey Minicom to come with Bomb Shock either.
You know, I was actually talking with my wife about this. We were in Walmart or something yesterday, and I looked at some of them. Some of the Power Core Combiners and picked them up and I put them back down and she's like, are they not really doing it? I'm like, no, not really. I mean, it's like, I think with the first set, I was really excited and when I first got them and put them together, but now it's like the same molds being put out in different colors, which we knew was going to happen. And it's just, I don't know. It's not holding up to me.
I'm still pretty pumped about them. It's just, man, the redecos could be a little bit more inspired than just throw paintballs at the wall. Okay, we'll go with that one.
Yeah, that's really what they look like.
Yeah. Although I do have to say the names are great.
Still Shot, Windburn, and Dark Stream.
Dark Ray.
Dark Rave. Awesome, yeah.
That's very 70s Marvel.
What's really good? Razor Beam.
Razor Beam.
I will cut you with this here beam.
He shoots a beam of razors at you.
That's creepy. And
Dark Ray is an axe. That's the greatest part. It's like, pew, pew, I'm an axe. Yeah. Beacon. That sounds like bacon. I like it.
No, Dark Ray is the helicopter.
Oh, okay.
That's... Windburn helicopter.
Okay, my mistake. Well, that's just all kind of crazy. Like, never mind. I'm going to go kill myself. Which one's Ray Beacon? The red monkey?
Sent for an axe gun.
Okay, well, you know what? They can all go to hell now.
Oh, Rob.
There just went nuts, some of the awesome with that.
Dark Scream sounds like something you should go to the ER for.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah, this hurts, Doc. I got some Dark Scream going on.
What it's do you feeling. Got? So I misread T-Formers earlier today when I saw, oh, neat, we're getting Masterpiece Coneheads, but no.
No.
No
Beldar whatsoever.
Long string of fan project third party items we're going to talk about now.
Yeah.
Third party bootlegs.
Yeah, third party.
Yes,
I'm not just being sarcastic. That's a bootleg. In fact, when can I just go to Big Lots and find these?
Right. That's true. Actually, Big Lots got a cease and desist a few years ago about selling this crap.
Did they?
Sold the oversized Cybertron Legends knockoffs right next to the legitimate ones.
Yeah.
Wow, ooh. But yet the Beast Wars Megatrons will live on forever.
Right.
Mm.
And the Optimal Optimi.
Oh, God, yes.
In nice camouflage and purple colors.
Yeah, those are great. I love those.
Now I want Optimal Optimus in G2 Megatron colors, so thanks a lot.
Probably out there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So, skipping ahead, we have... XV showed me this one. So, iGear is making a VW Bumblebee that looks like, Deep Six meets the Daniel's exosuit. Meets lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, not to mention.
iGear is going to die of lawsuits.
Totally the classic's head, too. I mean, like, they just...
Yeah, they just plucked it off.
Where are they based? They can't be based in...
they have to be based in Singapore or something like that.
I don't think that works anymore, because didn't Hasbro just, like, open up an official shop in one of those countries?
Oh, did they?
I believe have factories. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think there wasn't there that official, like, was it Singapore or China, really small official Transformers convention?
Was it China?
They have, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't know how exactly far that would reach. It's like, hey, we have legal arms here now.
Yeah. Okay. But Rob, this is something we talked about on my show a few months ago. There's actually a cartoon in China made around bootleg Power Ranger toys. And it's not just like a one-off like the G3 Inferno cartoon. Mm-hmm. This is like a full CGI series they made around these Mighty Morphin Power Rangers knockoff toys.
Wow.
So obviously China is not doing a whole lot to quash bootlegging.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, they are China after all.
True.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about somewhere where they're the least of their priorities are like toy bootlegs.
Yeah, that's also why it's been a haven for knockoff Gundam kits for the last 25 years.
You know, I went to Hobby Town USA. I think that is a chain, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got one here.
I went into one yesterday, and I didn't realize they had all these Gundam kits. It's like, wow, it's like 1998 all over again.
They've been sitting there that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just shocked. I really considered buying one, but I didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Do they have any good ones? Just
no,
a quick aside.
No.
Well,
no unicorn robots or bull robots.
Zoids. They have Zoids.
No Zoids.
It's sucko.
It's totally sucko.
I can use more blocks parts.
Yeah. Let's see here. What else in the new? Okay, this is
Ryan, I demand that you read this exactly as I wrote it.
this sort of tore me up when I was looking at this. Third party Firestar, less female Autobot, more Autobot real doll.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Look at that face.
It's just so wrong.
Yeah.
It looks dead. I mean, it really looks like an aborted G1 toy, sort of.
Yeah. Like something they were like, no, this isn't marketable.
Yeah, it's like, no, this will send us to hell.
I think this was made by Impossible Toys, just like that RC toy from a couple months ago that also could not stand under its own weight.
Delicate flower robot.
It's called Impossible Toys because they shouldn't be made.
Yeah.
Impossible Toys because Hasbro might just have an idea what they're doing.
Yeah. See,
on the way
to work today, I was reading the Call of Cthulhu, and the book, it starts off, the story starts off about how man should, there are certain things that man shouldn't be able to piece together mentally because it would cause him to want to go insane and hide away, and this is like a prime example of something that should never ever happen. That's it.
Is that like things like why Kim Kardashian has a career? And...
Yeah. Yeah, so it's...
Or more important things than that, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's apparently important things like this Snooki creature that's all over media lately.
I don't know
where
is.
Where did that thing come from?
Yeah. Why is that popular?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a little monster. It like eats babies, apparently.
No, the only monster that should be popular is the thingamajig.
Yes, but instead we got Snookies and situations on TV making more money than we are.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes. It's evil.
Two packs today.
Okay, so at tformers.com we have pictures, what I'm affectionately referring to as... God, it just talked to me.
I'm telling you, man.
Eat you in your sleep.
As Robot Prawn. So, newer, better pictures of the upcoming toys. And, oh my God, the more I see of the G2 Optimus, the Laser Prime, just the happier I get.
The more I'm thinking, this time, Hasbro, I demand my Toxitron.
Yeah.
Edit that, but I'm the man of Toxitron. I should have never been shown that at BotCon 05.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if that is not next year's fan club toy.
Would Greg Sefflack and Trent Troop on board? We don't know who to kill if it isn't.
Surprised. I doubt Hasbro will do it themselves, but there's nothing stopping the club from doing it.
That is totally true.
When I totally get just a few minutes to myself, I'm writing the script, and I'm going to use the show to farm out artists to make my mosaic, which is going to be all about Toxitron.
Yeah.
Dude, Toxitron was awesome.
Yes.
I don't actually remember seeing it at 05, but I know it was there.
It was in the Rick Alvarez slideshow where you're showing rare toys and stuff, and he showed a bunch of unproduced stuff like Toxitron and the Universe of Minasaur and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
You know, Wheeljack looks a lot better on this mold than Trax does.
Yeah, you're right. He does.
I mean, Wheeljack can pull off the wide body shape. It doesn't look right for Trax, though.
I have been eating chocolate all day. Hello, Toblerone.
I also like that they repurposed Trax's shoulder cannons as wrenches.
Yes.
Hmm.
He used these to beat Vic.
Very clever design.
So, again, going into the whole third-party knockoff sort of realm that's so popular right now, Hothead, which is...
Best.
Yeah, it's Hardhead pieces.
Not as fun.
Yeah. Is that shipping now? Yes.
Yes, it is.
I really want that. Too bad I don't have the Universe Hardhead to accompany it, but it looks actually really awesome. Way better than I expected.
I must have it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really nice. I'm kind of afraid to rip the head off of Hardhead, but...
No, it's easy to get the head off the Onslaught mold. There's one screw in the back, and it just separates right in half.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, nice. That's easy.
Yeah, so I may have to break down and get both of those.
Oh, man.
Damn.
There go your started. Models. See, it's apparently the Firebolt thing was like a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Third-party toys.
I always bought Lucas Brothers kits. You know, it's in the vein. I'm good.
Same. Yeah.
Speaking of, Lucas Brothers, come on, give me what I want.
That being...
Yeah, give me some stuff I want, Lucas Brothers.
Come on, like...
I don't know. They've really made a lot. Like, that animated kit was the last thing they did, huh?
Yeah, they did.
The thing they got was the golden discs.
Yeah.
They did
the animated kit.
Mm. Yeah. Dr. Sigma.
Yeah.
They did Energon cubes.
They did that set of Beast Machines parts back before the fan add-on kit thing was popular.
True. Yeah.
And then they made that Unicron stand, which also worked with Starscream toys at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those things are pretty popular on the secondary market now. You get a lot of people looking for them.
Well, I mean, it's the base looks like Unicron and Planet. It's a nice little base.
Yeah. Perfect idea. They should do another run of them.
We got some new pictures of the War for Cybertron Cliff Jumper toy. It's at KO Toys. He looks pretty nice.
It looks pretty awful.
No, I like it, dude. I mean, as a repaint goes, I think it looks pretty nice.
He looks like
he's auditioning for Tron, but you know.
Exactly. I mean, you know, he's obese as can be, but so is Bumblebee.
He got a new head. I'm happy. I mean, he's not just a repaint. He got a head.
Yeah. And
you see the picture of that head on the classic body. Because if that works as well as it sounds like it's supposed to, I'm totally getting one just for a head transplant.
I'm pretty sure it would, looking at it.
You know, speaking of Tron, I was at Walmart this afternoon. And where originally there was a 4x5 square of solid Revenge of the Fallen toys... That's been reduced to one column now, and the rest of the space has been taken up with empty pegs for Tron toys.
Really?
Well, it's coming out in like 2 months now, isn't it?
Well, Kmart has the Tron toys out.
I'm debating whether or not to actually see Tron.
Debating whether or not to like pretend it never existed.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
I've never been able to sit through the whole original Tron movie. I always fall asleep.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
To be fair, the first three or four times I tried to watch Star Trek The Motion Picture, the same thing happened.
I love Star Trek The Motion Picture.
I'm just saying, though, it took me a while to actually see the entire thing.
I don't know. I'd say the first one is an acquired taste as far as Star Trek. But, I mean, as far as Tron, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like an early film that I remember seeing for me, so it's a little more nostalgic. But, I mean, like, this one, yeah, I'm going to go see the new one. I'm not going to bother with the 3D, though, because it's post-rendered 3D.
Is it?
Yeah, it wasn't shot in 3D. At least that's my understanding.
I don't think so. I think it was shot in 3D.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. That's not what I heard.
That's what Wiki tells me.
Well... I mean, because Wikipedia.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, is the source. If it was shot in 3D, then I may pay the money to see it in 3D. But
I'm not. I have not been very happy with any 3D things that I've seen. But I am definitely going to go see this because I've been stoked to go see it since I heard it was coming out. So
I haven't seen any of these in 3D yet. If there's a movie I want to see that has been shot natively in 3D, you know, that's one thing. But
I've enjoyed it.
It never works right.
Yeah, I don't care either way.
It's like
me either.
I don't want to see Bolt. Girlfriend wants to see Bolt. It's in 3D. I enjoyed the 3D.
When I heard Tron Legacy was coming out, I watched Tron again, and it was awesome.
It's definitely a movie you should be of some age to enjoy, I think.
I watched it as a kid, actually, and then I thought it was really bizarre, and then I watched it again. Recently.
And it was still really bizarre.
It was still really bizarre, but it was just like, it was actually more awesome than I remembered it to be.
You watch it and you say, hey, stuff just happened.
It's weird because my girlfriend, who is not a geek, she actually liked it too.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see here. I'm checking the show notes because I don't keep track of this stuff. Okay. This is the bit of news of the week for me. Does anyone remember the kid from My Sister Said If I Get 1 Million Fans, She Will Name Her Baby Megatron?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I remember him.
Yeah, well, we had an interview lined up with him, but he kept flaking, and yeah. I think we know why. Because My Sister Said If I Get 1 Million Fans, She'll Name Her Baby Dylan.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
Yeah, so
sounds like she lied.
Yeah, sounds like she lied. So yeah, Dylan. So thanks to Michael Wilson who posted that on Facebook. Yeah.
You know, that's probably for the best though, because if she would have named baby Megatron, then he would have had to grow up and fight that guy that's named Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
But by that time, that dude will be old, so Megatron will win.
As someone with a Transformers name, it's pretty overrated.
Yeah.
True, your last name. Awesome.
Yeah. Still to this day, I meet someone new in the fandom. Oh, that's really your last name? I thought that was just that's a terrible screen name.
Yeah, I said.
Not like my screen name's terrible already, but still.
I was like, Springer is your real last name? Like, what?
When that was actually brand new, we were in a movie theater watching the movie. My mom was going, Springer, look at that to us. And I'm like, and at the time I was like, I know who I'm going to be in the playground.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, you had to reserve the cool characters on the playground, you know, but hey, Springer, you're not Ultra Magnus. You are not Doug Ultra Magnus. I am Rob Springer.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Ultra Magnus.
Ultra Magnus wouldn't have been so bad, but if you were stuck, like, you know, hey, I'm Brian First Aid, that would just kind of suck. Or it's like, hey, I'm Bill Blott.
You know, Brian. That's
actually, Bill Blott is not a bad sounding name.
That's a good
sounds like a linebacker.
Name.
Yeah.
I don't know. First aid would only really kind of suck if you worked in anything detrimental to health. Like, say if you were like some guy on Jackass the movie. Hi, this is something first aid, and this is the shoving a beep thing up my butt. This is a good idea. Yeah. I'm getting shot with a gun. First aid.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So let's go ahead.
It's PG in America.
PG. Yeah. So, Amy, yeah. Amy, are you still around?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay. So tell us about Drift.
Okay. Drift. Drift 4 just came out today. It's awesome. I'm not going to spoil it because it just came out today. So we don't get any comics next week, so I'll spoil it then if you really want me to.
Yes. Please do.
But it's really good. I'd have to say, if I'm going to pick my top two picks of the year of 2010, it'll be Last Stand of the Wreckers and Drift. So there you go. Based on that recommendation alone, you got to pick up Drift. I think that's true.
But if you're a dude and you go into a bar full of ugly women, if you walk out with the two best looking of the the ugly women, I mean, how really well off are you? Actually, Last Stand of the Wreckers is really good. I genuinely enjoy it. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, especially since when I first came on here, you're like, I hate it.
They killed Skyquake. They killed Skyquake.
I closed it forever.
Yes.
So pissed about that.
Yeah, I love Skyquake. I'm like, oh, yeah. God, you suck.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
That's happened in the first two pages. I mean, it's not a spoiler.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So.
He's just kidding. He doesn't care.
So, according to Barricade64 in the chat, McFeely hates Drift.
Yeah, so, I just saw that today too on the Moonbase 2 forum. I was like, "Oh, really?"
maybe we can get you on Fanboy Versus, and we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Is that okay with you, boss?
Oh, that sounds like it'd be fun.
JD, is that okay with you?
Yeah,
you're the host. You're the guy who runs and owns that show. So,
well, you know, and that's Well, I mean, that's the thing is we were actually discussing post show, I think, even talking about how we don't generally talk about Transformers comics, but that's because all of us that are on the show are kind of snobby and we're not really liking the Transformers comics right now. So it may be interesting to debate on the show.
But you know, Ender's statement on the that made the cover of Last Stand of the Wreckers. I guess I'm assuming it was Ender, that it's just it cites steveformers.com, but it's the Transformers answer to the Watchmen. As far as like modern Transformers comics go, it's totally true. And you know, it's a good comic. It's a legitimately good readable comic. Not that, you know, the rest of the IDW stuff is, but
You know, yeah. I've been trying to read the Drift comic, and of course I make my jokes about Drift all the time, but I really wanted to like it because that's a cool toy, and I hate having a toy just because it's cool. I'd like to have some reason to own other than he's got a sword.
Yeah.
And I can't even get my way through issue 3. It's like, this would be a great comic if Drift wasn't in it. And it's like Drift, his own comic. If he wasn't in it, I'd like it a lot better. It's just, it's like all this stuff's going on. What's he doing? Scowling. You know, that's my disappointment. It was like his chance to shine and really be like, hey, I've got a cool toy that everyone wants. And this is why. And why is it? Because everyone else in my book is better than me.
Aww.
I'm so disappointed.
You know, the thing is that there's a lot of internal stuff that's supposed to go on in that comic. So the reason why he's got those looks is because it's kind of hard to show internal things going on without, like, you know, it describing it. And you don't have a lot of space to put a lot of exposition, right. You know. And so it's like, unless he's like having flashbacks of stuff, you're not going to really know what's going on in his head. And so I was like, I think that's the one of the things that they're doing. But, you know, I think that they've done it in a way that has told just enough without telling too much. And so that's the reason why I really like it. And it's not that there's other things in there, too, that I really, really like, too. But, you know, just in offset, it's kind of almost you can't do it any differently. But at the same time, they could have done it a lot worse.
I think they did it
very wisely.
I think what would redeem Drift a lot in a lot of people's eyes, mm-hmm. if he just got his ass whooped really hard and became really humble.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's Angsty McAngstein in his own miniseries. And then in the comics, he's all Mr. Smirk and I'm awesome. And everyone stops to tell him how awesome he is. I'd like just someone to just kick the snot out of him. And the rest of the time, he's got to be like, okay, maybe I'm not, you know, just become a normal character instead of the whole world stops to tell me how awesome I look while I'm fighting. Yeah,
I thought
seriously.
They did that in the first issue, actually, because he gets his can kicked pretty good.
Yeah, but then he kicks it anymore. It's like, hey, all the Decepticons are going to kill me. Guess what? Gah, I'm in handcuffs. Now I'm not. I'm punching them. Yeah. Give me a gun.
Did you get to the end?
I haven't got to issue 4 yet.
Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. I haven't got the issue 4 yet. I'm having a hard enough time with 3. But really, if it was better, like I said, I was really wanting it to be more in line. But what do I know? I mean, it's just one opinion versus another, not law.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Awesome.
So, let's see here. Hey, JD, what happened this week in history?
Well, I can tell you that... on October 15th, 1999, some dork with a computer made a web show.
Yes, he did. And it was described as 9 minutes of your life that you will never, ever get back.
No.
sounds like a real loser.
Yeah.
But thankfully, he added other people to that show, and we made it into this.
Yes.
That's awesome. So yeah, Radio Free Cybertron, of course, which was awesome.
That show will never be.
In its day it was.
It's a cool show.
Yeah. So
I mean, especially for its day. I mean, I know you did it, you may be semi-humble or maybe not, but I mean, at least for the time, it was way innovative. Like there weren't, nobody was doing that.
Oh yeah.
So.
Wait a minute, there's a radio show on the computer.
Yeah.
It's about Transformers. Who's going to listen to that other than me?
I know.
A decade later, there's a show about Transformers. Who is going to listen to that?
There's a show about like a Transformer now.
Yeah. The Starscream Pod Hour.
Yeah. I remember that I posted it and like 8 people listened to it. And I was like, oh my God, 8 people listened to this.
Oh,
it was so awesome. Actually, 8 people downloaded it.
I should repost your Usenet post where you're looking around like, hey, does anyone know?
What was it? What was it, Rob?
It was in Rec Arts or something where you were like contemplating making the show, and you're like, would anyone be interested in like a radio show for about Transformers? And like someone's like, or like, how would I pull it off? And people were like, you could use this program. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I found it once. I could find it again.
Yeah, no, it's out there somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, it's not too hard.
I was looking for it forever, but it was in Rec. It was in the Rec group, not the
alt. It's not
group.
An alt.
Yeah. And we have one other. We have one more, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. So actual transport stuff. The RID DVD box set was released in the UK on October the 16th, 2007.
Yeah, it was re-released. I wish it would be released here.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't find that. So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Okay, hey, let's go ahead and I want to play one of our voicemails, and we'll come back after the Wiki Spotlight and go over the winner. But I want to play this first voicemail. So let's go ahead and play it.
Hey, Radio Free Cybertron. This is Rich Mitchell congratulating you guys on 11 years of this. I've been listening since way back when in the god-awful real media player usage days. So glad to see you guys keep going. Keep up the good work, and hope to hear you guys for many more years. Bye.
Cool. Okay. And he hangs up. Okay.
Real media.
Yeah, so, okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We will join Chris McFeely with the Wiki Spotlight, and I can't tell you what it is because it's not been recorded yet.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Give me your face.
It's time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us by none other than Chris McFeely. What do you have for us this week?
Well, this week I had to think a little bit. I just didn't have anything on the tip of my brain. But an exchange I had on Twitter the other night prompted me to revisit a little something. And that prompted me to pick this week's Wiki Spotlight as the Generation 1 Cartoon Timeline of Japan. That's not the page title. There's a load of disambigs and brackets and things. So we'll put a link to that on the homepage. But this timeline is something I think everybody should read. Because you hear a lot of people talk on forums about how crazy Japanese continuity became a couple of years ago when they started squashing everything into one continuity. But you should really read it for yourself because it's a little intimidating looking, but it's not as complicated as you might think. And they're not really crushing in anything that wasn't already intended to be in the Japanese continuity already anyway. There's a couple of new things and there's a couple of retcons, but it's the timeline of the cartoon with all of the additional Japanese cartoons and mangas and Beast Wars, because Beast Wars is cartoon continuity in Japan, and Beast Machines and everything from Kiss Players to Vinyl Tech, although that is a little complicated, to more obscure things like Micromaster Collection and Stargate Battles and Robots in Disguise is the big one weird point. So I strongly recommend reading this to try and understand how this operates. The page is, the important thing I think to note here is that this is a straight translation of a timeline that was included in the 2007 graphic novel. Now that graphic novel collected all of the Kiss Player mangas and all of another manga you probably haven't heard of called 15 Go-Go, and it was only available at one Japanese winter convention of all the places to release a graphic novel in. But that's where this timeline was published. And it's also got added into it some points from another much smaller, less expansive timeline included on the Auto Trooper and Atari Kiss Players toy packaging. So this is as expansive and as detailed as can possibly be from all the different sources. And it'll take you a little while to get through it all, but you'll definitely wind up enlightened if you make it through to the other side without your brain coming out your nose. And so this week's Wiki Spotlight is the Generation 1 Cartoon Timeline of Japan. Read it if you dare.
Well, thank you, Chris McFeely. I am more confused than I thought I possibly could be just from a 3-minute description.
Well, that's because you haven't read it yet.
Actually, I have read part of it, and it didn't help.
Part of it. Didn't read all of it. Gotta read all of it.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
The courageous Ultra Magnus is a born leader. We meet at last, Galvatron. And it will be the last time we meet.
And Galvatron is Ultra Magnus' sworn enemy.
Transformers!
Galvatron transforms from laser cannon to fighting robot.
And Ultra Magnus from huge car carrier to Autobot commander.
And now it's here in theaters everywhere. Transformers the movie.
It's over, Prime.
Does Prime die? Transformers the movie, rated PG, now playing everywhere. Don't miss it.
Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Transformers, it's better than crack.
And now, another RTM1 dub moment.
Those villains arrived and turned the place upside down.
Now calm down, rest a bit. Don't overexcite yourself.
Those army men had destroyed our peace. I beg you, please help us, sir, to get them off our land.
So who are these outside forces, then?
Other Decepticons.
Did you say the Decepticons?
We know that you would do anything for peace. That's why we risked our lives to come here to see you, you see.
You were wandering in space without proper gear, trying to contact us?
Darn those Decepticons. They'd do anything to satisfy their own needs.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So, thank you, Mr. McFeely. Speedy delivery. Okay, so let's go ahead and announce the winner of our contest. The winner of Dark Mount, and to win Dark Mount, you just had to be a fan on Facebook, as simple as that. And we randomly picked one. The winner is Jay Simpson. Congratulations, Jay Simpson. You are the winner of Dark Mount.
He is awesome.
He is awesome. So, and the winner of I'm going to play the voicemail that wins War for Cybertron, Megatron. And I'm pretty sure that he says his name in it. If not, we'll say who the winner is. But let's go ahead and play the voicemail.
Hello, this is Megatron, and I'm commanding you to give me the wall for Cybertron figure. Yes.
Why, Splinter does not understand. I want the figure. I want ultimate power. And don't forget about how Wild Splinter gets thrown to scrap all the time.
Shut up, you insolent bug. I will get the figure. Should I get the figure first, I will destroy Megatron. Now, Skrillex got in the conversation as well. Nevertheless, I will win. I will get War for Cybertron Megatron if it's the last thing I do. Yes.
Okay, so that was Steven Megatron Phillips. So congratulations,
awesome.
Steve. You're
awesome.
That was awesome. Awesome. And there was more than that, which I will actually put in the show. So
does he work in Sailor Moon or Pikachu?
No, he does not.
Nope.
He does not.
Just garden section at Walmart.
That's funny.
Do you have any tulips?
No.
No, Maximals. I have no tulips.
I would go to that garden section all the time.
Me too.
Dude, I'm looking at planting something. Just show me something.
And because I felt like it, I also decided to do a couple more giveaways that we didn't really announce. I decided because we love our Twitter fans that we would select a winner from our Twitter followers, and the person would win the Transformers Trade Last Stand. Ooh, and that goes to @Malunas. So,
hey.
Yeah, so Malunas won that, which is pretty awesome. Malunas is cool. And one more, another from Facebook, because it was really a Facebook contest. The winner of Perchance to Dream, which is a collection of black and white stories from the UK comic. The winner of that is... and it's probably not a real name, Roxy Slaybaugh. Of course, if that's a real name, that is awesome. But
yeah. Your parents are awesome.
Yeah, so after the show, I'll be sending emails and everything out to the people who won. So congratulations to all. Again, congratulations. We will actually have a big year-ending contest.
Urinating contest.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, so we'll have a big...
Taking this show in a different direction.
Yes, it's going blue again. It's a year-end 2010 contest, and we'll be announcing details on that next week. So tune in for that. Okay, what else do we have? Where are we going? I don't know. We're jumping into the topic. So... Let's go ahead and let's cover this from last week. We said that we would. What are this came in from our chat discussion. What are your biggest hopes and biggest fears for Transformers Prime? So go ahead and start. I hope
I just
that it's good.
To look like the movie, but not be like the movie.
Like you mean like quality level of the movie or the matter?
Well, I mean, as weird as it sounds, I want the writing to be a little more deep, I guess. I mean, I mean, Juvenile's fine. I just don't. I'm just tired of like the.
You like more plot,
the shallowest, lowest possible common denominator, most obvious humor type stuff.
Yeah.
So you can do kids cartoons that are way more sophisticated than the last two movies. So that's all I'm hoping for. Yeah. Just a little bit of intelligence.
Well, you know, sounds possible.
It could. It's not impossible.
I'm hoping, from what they're saying, it's supposed to be like the most action-packed or dramatic Transformers series ever. I'm hoping that it doesn't come off as hokey and stilted.
Yeah, and do you remember the few lines that we heard at BotCon?
The stuff from the Love-In video?
Yeah.
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 Snuggle me harder, Prime.
Basically.
Quit cupping my ass, Megatron.
That may get edited out.
Yeah, I'm sure. It may. And it may not. It just depends on how charitable I'm feeling.
That's so disturbing.
People listen to both versions of the show.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Unrated.
I really just hope that it's decent. It has a lot to live up to.
How do you feel about that opinion?
What do you?
How do you feel about yourself? Like that's legitimately what you hope for the show. You hope that it's like okay. So how do you feel?
It's you know, that's really all I felt about Animated. But you know, Animated. The reason I felt that way is because we had been served so much crap for so long, and the reason I feel this way about Prime is because Animated was so freaking awesome. So, you know, I'm going in with just moderate expectations, you know, and for entirely different reasons, like I said, because I had such low expectations for Animated that they were, you know, more than met. My expectations for this are that it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Animated. So I think it's a realistic expectation that it's not going to suck. But it wouldn't be realistic for me to think that Hasbro, in this first venture of the Hub, is going to hit it out of the park. But maybe I'm wrong. Citizen Kane was a first effort, and you know it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's no guarantee it's going to flop. When there's, I guess, an outside chance it's going to be really good. I just always worry about that pedigree from the movie. You know what I mean?
I have to say that the people working on it can sure sing. They do a great job singing karaoke.
Especially in Spanish.
Yes, yes.
But that's all I ask for.
Yeah.
That's the only requirement to get a job as a executive producer on a Transformers.
I guess so.
Yeah, I wish. Got to work on my Spanish.
Are you not fluent? Yeah.
No, blame my parents. I blame my parents, not my lack of interest in learning myself. That's the American way. I'm just going to blame somebody else.
That's true.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Blame the random woman walking
it's
down the street.
It's impossible
with a baby
as an adult
hand.
To learn a second language. See?
Yeah.
So it's my parents. Taught me when I was two.
Yeah, I'm going to, in the next couple of years, I'm going to try to learn Portuguese, Italian, and Spanish. in French. Because I have never bothered to learn another language, I'm going to try to knock it all out of the park.
You're just going to catch up.
Yeah.
You can do it, man.
Yeah. I'm picking stuff. It's all romance languages. Hopefully that will simplify it. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the real topic for this week. And it's because it's the 11th anniversary show. As a fan, what are your highest and lowest points going back in the past 11 years? So going back to roughly, what, season 2 of Beast Wars? What were the highest and lowest points for season 3 of Beast Wars for you?
Highest points of stuff we've done?
As a fan, just in general, as a fan total.
Stuff we done.
It's very open, very open-ended, sir. Very open-ended. Make of this question whatever you want.
Is this gonna be a Rob Stories episode?
Yeah, let's make it a therapy session.
Sure, Rob. Go ahead.
You guys go first, because it's, you know.
You have to self censor.
As a fan, not as a person. I'm not going to tell the people about.
I'll give you one that's like it,
okay.
It's possibly the highest point I can remember myself and the fandom ever having together. And it was when they debuted the first few minutes of the Armada cartoon at BotCon.
I don't even remember that. Was that 01? No, 02?
It had to have been something like that. Where of course, we didn't know, like, you know, you had no idea the quality of the fiction, but it was coming out of RID. It was like, you know, trumped up as this is America's shot, so to speak. You know what I mean? This is like it. This is original G1E or vehicle Transformers. This is going to be awesome. This is going to rock. And out of context, if you just take the first few minutes of the first episode of Armada, it is awesome. It's hilarious. They treat the robots as like aliens, giant, like roaming robots that are completely alien. Everybody went crazy in that ballroom at like the second anything happened in the first few minutes of Armada, everybody went crazy and everybody was on their feet. I don't think I've ever been around trans fans that were more excited than I was that night.
Were you scared?
And then the rest of the show.
The rest of Armada happened. But that was like absolutely the highest point. That was absolutely the most energy I've ever been around as far as Transformers go.
Cool.
Yeah.
JD, how about you?
JD.
He's thinking.
I think the lowest point for me was probably around like the Cybertron cartoon years. As far as fiction goes, because I think everybody had just like completely given up and forgotten what good fiction was about.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad because there were people who I'm not dependent on the fiction. I mean, I'm kind of a toy person, but good fiction makes the toys that much better. It makes them, you know, way more enticing. And by the time Cybertron rolled around, I was struggling. I was just really struggling to care about the toys.
Right.
Because there's just nothing there. I mean, it's at some point you need something to latch onto as far as characterization. And by the time Cybertron rolled around, we had nothing. Like, there's just nothing left.
That's true. JD has no sound. Okay. That's why he's not speaking. So, okay, Rob, have you come up with something yet?
Are we going on high points?
Sure. Go ahead.
Aside from all my badass friends out there and just all the good times we've had, which... really, almost every time we've all gotten together, that's my highest point.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, just sitting around in the hotel at BotCon, yakking, hoop sweating, whatever we've all done together, that's my highest points in the fandom right there. That's just truth, not me trying to be funny. And that's my favorite parts of the fandom is my friends. Low parts, I could write a book series. I'll get away from the obvious whole food court incident at 06 with the Megatron. Because I'm still kind of living that one down, and I don't entirely remember all of it. Okay, well... wow, what is the lowest point?
There's too many to choose from. You're just saying...
Well, it's just stuff I've done that was just like... happened as it was, and then later on I'm like, nah, it wasn't so good. You know, it's like maybe it was kind of dangerous to watch cartoons with a gangster. You know,
that's true, by the way.
You know, I've
that's an awesome story.
Well, I'll just go ahead and tell that one. I live in Atlanta, of course, which has its good neighborhoods, that many, and its bad neighborhoods, this many, just a whole bunch. And this one neighborhood I was living in, there was this very, very large threatening fellow who walked around with a semi-automatic pistol on him at all times. I'm not trying to say he's a gangster, but he was a gangster. And he was friends with my roommate, because my roommate worked part-time at a comic shop a couple of blocks down, and a lot of gangsters are into comics and anime. Figure that one out. So he became kind of friends. He got used to coming over. Like, I guess at some point my roommate showed him my stuff or whatever, because we just barely knew each other at the time. And it got to be like random hours a day. There was a knock at the door, and there's this heavily armed fellow. What's up? Hey, let's watch some Transformers. Okay. So we just sit there and watch cartoons.
I had no idea he was like packing heat when you told the story before.
Yeah, he actually always had one. And you know, there's always the stereotype of packing the gack in your front of your pants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always work so well because pistols are different sizes and a lot of these guys have guts.
and so they generally shoot your own nuts off?
Exactly. So what they do is tend to put them actually in the pants pockets. They'll actually stick and what this is real. This is not rap videos. What a lot of your gangsters do, they carry those little pistols. And when they shoot, now, I mean, you always ever see on a rap video the guy like, you know, he's got to lean all that. They haven't done that since 1989. What most of them do these days with the little pistol, they'll hold up real close to their face like this so people can't grab it from them. And it's a little one because they usually got stashed somewhere. So this was a very large gentleman. Cooler and I don't know what. And him and I used to drink a lot together and watch my Transformers videos and argue. I mean, we'd argue. He'd be like, man, I'm sick of these new ones. I'm like, man, f*** you. They're good. No, they're not, man. And we're having this drunken argument, and he's armed. I mean, he's got like not just a couple on his body. After a while, he was carrying like this briefcase with another gun.
Wow.
And he would just be like, man, I'm so tired. Like, I liked Rid at first. I did. It was toward the end of it where it kind of lost me story wise. But for the first three quarters, I enjoyed it as just a fun cartoon. I didn't take it too seriously. We got in arguments about how stupid this cartoon was. And I was like, it was like Ender and a Super Spy at a BotCon. Yeah. Yeah, I know, but that's okay. No, it's not. No, it's okay. And, you know, the only difference is Ender's a little short, angry guy, and this was a giant mountain of a man with several guns in my house. Drunk. That's probably one of my low points as far as fandoms. And that doesn't include some of the stuff I did that later. It was a bad idea. To me, this was just normal life. And then later, I'm like, I was in a lot of danger.
Wow. Yeah. That beats mine. JD, what about you?
I mean, as far as low points,
as a fan, not as a person, because I'm not going to tell the people about the time that I got the Kong Whopper from Burger King and ate two bites of it and started crying. That's not going to be told.
That's awesome.
I love that story.
I don't really have. I mean, I don't keep track, I guess, of low points. You know what I mean? It's like there were, I guess, lulls, like we said, like around the Cybertron or you know, Unicron trilogy, things like that. But nothing. I mean, probably maybe at the point, I guess, that I got out of posting on like AGT and stuff. But I don't really know why that was. But as a high point, I would say breaking BotCon was probably the pinnacle of my Transformers fan.
As a Transformers journalist, that is a pretty big story.
Yeah. I guess I need to retell that story? Or?
Yeah, it's been a while since you told the story.
It's been like a month. Yeah.
No, it's been about six, dude.
Has it been six? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a good story. So, way back in the day when I was with Cold Hard Slag with Heath and Tim and Lori, it was coming up on BotCon time. I think it was a few months. It was like 2 months out, I think, from BotCon. We were interviewing Michael Bell, and we're in the middle of the call. I think even Dak and Jeremy were maybe on the call. People that our listeners have no idea who they are, but they were people that are around at the time. Anyway, point being, we were interviewing Michael Bell, and we were asking him about BotCon and kind of getting him ready for what that was going to be like, because Heath had been to like three already by that point. And this was in, what, 2001? Was it 2001 that he was at?
Yeah, it was 2001.
So this was like 2001, so it was pretty early still. Anyway, we're in the middle of the interview, and Michael Bell's telling the story, and he's like, yeah, and I'm not going to tell any of my friends that, you know, I'm going to this convention anymore. And we're like, okay. And he's like, yeah, I ran into Greg Berger a couple weeks ago, and, you know, told him I was doing this show. And he's like, really? Well, I want to go. And he called him up, and now he's coming. And I had to fly coach. We were like, wow. Because at that point, they hadn't mentioned that Greg Berger was going to be there. And so our thought was they just haven't announced him yet. So, you know, and I think even on the interview, if you were to go back and listen to it, because it's probably somewhere, I think I say, wow, we just broke that because, you know, we thought that was kind of newsworthy. And we posted on the show, didn't think about it. We put it up. I think it ran on RFC and a couple other places as well. Well, we just start getting these nasty emails from whoever was running BotCon at the time from the fan perspective. I can't remember who it was. Name escapes me. Anyway, he was pissed. He was like, oh my God, you know, it's going to be a secret and you guys should have ran it by us and stuff before we posted it and everything. And we're like, sorry. I was like, and they were like really mad. And I think they ended up inviting, somebody else. Who else was there that year? Crap. The guy that does, Windcharger. They had somebody else that they invited as a product guest. But anyway, long story short, we broke BotCon.
Nice.
Because they had to invite somebody else because we had blown the secret guest.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Peter, what about you?
Hanging out with you two at BotCon 10.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of my life.
The three, man. Forgot, you know. Actually, yeah, probably. Other than, actually finding out that Beast Wars was remotely related to Transformers G1, that series I was quite fond of. I haven't been fond of the Beast Wars, of any other series than Beast Wars Beast Machines in terms of, throughout the time that I've been part of the fandom, which is about 15, 16 years now. But yeah, I think the highlight, like Rob was saying, is just hanging out with people that you met online and you talk to them. You guys share the same, you share the same passion for this kind of toys, and just the fact that grown people can actually unite to be together and hang out and joke around and just hang out like you're bunch of old friends, like you've known each other for, you know, your entire life, but you really never even heard each other speak before, and then you meet them at a convention just to hang out, and that I think that's great. I think that's a really, just to know that there are people out there that really just hope for this kind of thing once a year just to see their friends again, I think that's great. And it definitely was a highlight. A low point, I think, is an ongoing low point, but if there's one specific low point, I guess it would be like the, I would say like that Cybertron era time. The ongoing low point is the consistent just animosity between the many fans of each other. Like, many people don't care, you know, like, it's great to know that, you know, a lot of us don't care, but just the fact that some people do care and keep that kind of like hatred, I guess you consider. This sounds really like very Zen-like, but the fact that they're able to keep this kind of hatred within them is pretty much laughable. It's pretty sad. I mean, it's even though I said that, you know, everybody has this passion about toys, it literally is still toys.
Yes.
They are still plastic figures, and the companies that are selling us these toys are looking for one thing: money. and there's no reason to be that crazy over something like that. So obviously the good outweighs the bad, so I think
we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here, so you know, it's great.
I guess for me, the high point, while BotCon 2001 was my first trip to BotCon, or the official Transformers convention, my first real trip was OTFCC 2003, and it was my chance to go for the whole thing and really participate and really get to meet people. So I remember getting on the Greyhound bus and traveling from North Carolina to Chicago for OTFCC 03. And while it was a crazy trip there, and an even crazier trip back, I think I've mentioned this before, but the beautiful girl in the sequin dress who said, "Are you going to Asheville?" but
I am now.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack. No, it was a dude in a dress. So just never expected that. But watching the homeless man wash his shirt and the Greyhound sink was kind of quite a feat. But actually getting to meet people that I had talked with like in depth and got to hang out with. I met Rob for the first time at 03. JD was 01. I just got to, you know, interact with the fans, participate in all the stuff that I had really only, you know, the dark underbelly of BotCon things that it wasn't as dark as I thought, but just really getting to interact with the fans. That was a huge deal for me. That was just like really liberating because it was like, wow, these are the people that, you know, I can feel like a kinship with. And that was just, you know, while I had way more fun at, say, like BotCon 05 than I did OTFCC 03, it didn't have that new sensation that 03 had. The low point, though, and it didn't at the time, what didn't feel like a low point, but in retrospect it was at BotCon 06 when I was on the dealer floor basically giving crap away because I had that little interest in the Transformers as a property. I still loved – I mean, I went to 06, 07. I think I missed 08.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I guess I missed 09 too. But it's not like – I was there because all my friends were there, not because of the Transformers. And I was giving crap away. I was selling stuff that I – you know, that I gave Recharge Target Master Hot Rod. Hey, here, you want this, you want this, you want this, because I was basically getting out of the hobby. And at that point, it was like, hey, this is nice, you know, I'm getting rid of stuff that I don't need. But now it's like, wow, that was sort of a permanent solution to a temporary, you know, lapse in, you know, interest. And while I'll never be able to get all of the stuff back, luckily, you know, I still have, you know, I was able to re-energize myself as a fan. So, but that was a pretty low point. The positive has far outweighed the negative. I'm still here 11 years later talking crap about Transformers in front of a microphone. Actually, I'm putting way more time and effort than I ever did before. Still love Transformers. I always will. Until the day I die, and I think way more about dying now than I did 11 years ago.
Hey, man, I went to a physical today, and now I have to be on blood pressure meds, so...
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
that sucks. I'm officially old now. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we all?
I'll always have the sing-a-ma-jig.
Did you get a new one?
That sing-a-ma-jig might not be alive too much longer. He's going to...
He sounds really creepy.
Stoma.
Yeah, this one has emphysema.
Sounds like it's going
to cool. Sounds like Marlboro sing-a-ma-jig.
Yeah, so he's pretty awesome.
I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting John to be like, my greatest moment? You know how many martinis I've had at BotCon?
Yeah.
Walking around in a smoking jacket.
Yes.
John is like the coolest dude in the fandom to me. I just always expect to see him in like a zoot suit and just mixed drink. Hey, nerds, what's up?
I totally should have hopped in that limo. You remember that pimp we saw? Was it in Durham, I think?
Most likely it would have been, yeah.
Yes, I think it was.
Yeah, he was in a zoot suit and had a couple of his ladies.
Yes, that was Durham. No.
I think we were like, is this happening?
No way.
I think crazy moments from our group, probably my favorite's 03, when there was like the large Irish wedding at the same convention center as OTFCC 03, and like Ruben Studdard was there and his entourage got in a fight with the drunken bridesmaids in the lobby of the hotel, and you know, all of us are like,
that was 03.
Yeah, they're like, the staff's trying to tell us to go away, and Ant's like, okay, we're going, because they're busy with this fight of drunken racist women and Ruben Studdard's entourage, and it was just awesome. And later it got a little weirder, but you know, that wasn't as awesome as, is that Ruben Studdard's entourage fighting with Irish drunken ladies in BotCon?
Yeah, you know, I want to say this without sounding like really lame, but I mean, it's one of the reasons I enjoy doing RSC so much is because, you know, you guys are my friends. You know, even if we didn't collect Transformers, we would still, you know, be buddies. We would still all like each other and hang out.
Oh, yeah.
And I've actually tried to get Rob and GD and XV to like move here.
Yes, he has.
Yes.
Like every week.
Yeah, like every week. It's like, oh, can't find a job. I could help you get a job. Why don't you move to North Carolina? So, XV wanted.
Like, that's a good idea. Let me apply.
Yeah, XV wanted to move in with me. It's.
I was actually worried about your marriage at that point, because I'm like, Kim would have been like, okay, when's Rob going home?
But
we're playing with our toys.
But no, I enjoy doing this, and I always will. So hopefully we'll make it another 11 years. So we've been doing this since the 90s, and while you probably wouldn't know it, Twitter Theater this week just made it feel like 1998 all over again. It's like the most like important video of my early fandom days.
That was a big one, wasn't it, guys?
Yes.
Like, that was several layers of a flashback to college.
Let me go ahead and put that up on the screen, yep, because I love that so much. Rob, why don't you tell us about it while I pull it up?
All right. This week's Twitter Theater, actually, I was phoning it in this week and just pulled up something I knew would be a safe bet.
You coded it as not safe for work. That is so
yes.
Awesome.
I was like, what can I do to be amusing this week? Oh, I know. Wait, you got it on the back screen?
Yeah, I've got it on the back screen.
Awesome.
I love this so much.
Oh, man.
This was a scene from an episode of Challenge of the GoBots where effectively the Renegades ass raped Leader One. When all of us old timers were in college and some of us were still in high school around the late 90s, when this whole internet thing became, hey, I can talk to other nerds that won't call me nerds for not liking the same thing those nerds like. We started talking. All of a sudden, someone started passing around this video of like, hey, did you see that scene on GoBots where Leader One totally gets ass raped by like the Renegades? It's like, huh? It's like, this is the first Rickroll here. It's like, guys. Like, have you guys seen Beast Machines? Yeah, let me show you this video.
I feel so juvenile, but I love this so much.
I took it upon me last night to instant message Kristen with this, because I've been, the years we've been together, I've been slowly introducing her to, because you know, the trans fandom is not something you need to give someone a cold shot of. It's got she's meeting my friends, and it's like, this year she's starting to learn, why do you keep shuddering when the name Starscream comes up? I thought you liked him. I do, but some people kind of ruin part of that for me. And I had to explain to her, she's like, what kind of weird dude was it? It wasn't a dude. It was a bunch of girls. Why is it the girls? I don't know. You know, stuff like that. So I showed her this, and her expression on AIM was a frown. And that's really gross.
The footage is not doctored in any way.
This was Challenge of the GoBots was a very special cartoon, being that you know, you could actually watch the GoBots movie. Was it Meet the Rock Lords or what? I have it right here on DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it starts off all hardcore. Like
you have, wait, you have it on DVD?
I got it on DVD.
Is this like an official DVD?
No.
Okay, okay.
Although,
that's probably impossible.
True story. When I was on a Rocky Horror Cast, we had a Halloween party one year where we rented out the theater. We usually did a Rocky Horror. And we were going to watch some crazy bad movie. And it was going to be a whole thing. It was a Mystery Science Theater thing. Like even the heads of the cast are dressed up like the brain guy and the usher thing guy. And that was the whole thing. We were going to have a Mystery Science Theater party in a movie theater. Well, we couldn't find, I think it was going to be like Home Alone 3 or something. Well, we lost the tape. And then there we found on the shelf where we're like, well, what movie do you guys want to see? Scorpion King? And I was like, hey, is this GoBots Meet the Rock Lords? And there was the reel to reel. And I got to see it on the big screen because when I was a kid, I only watched it on Showtime when it was hosted by this old Jewish lady and her granddaughter watching kids' movies. And I'm like, well, the GoBots seem to be having trouble, Grandma. It's like, yeah, it's called The Plot.
Let's see here. So I'm looking for a Battle of the Rock Lords right now. I will.
Yeah. It starts off really hardcore. Like the Renegades are bringing the noise, and then the rest of the movie goes on, and you're like, "Hey, there's not actually a problem here, but they're acting like there is. Like the bad guys are being threatening, but I don't really see how."
That's pretty awesome. Okay,
yeah, whole movie, just nothing happens. And if that ass rape scene would have been in the movie, we'd all be a petitioning Rhino, wouldn't we?
Yes. Yes, we would. So Hasbro I don't know if Hasbro owns the video rights to the Rock Lords, but being that they own the GoBots, they have to own the right to the toys and such.
They got the name. Bandai still owns the toy visual machine Robo.
Yeah.
So like the U.S. names, they do. But as far as visuals, that's why it's like they're always a recolored somebody in Club Fiction or whatever, because they just can't, they can't. And even those GoBot releases in Japan, that was the meat colored mini cons, they literally just didn't put the names on the box because they're like, look, we're in Bandai's backyard.
Maybe we should petition Hasbro to make some GoBots or Rock Lords for generations.
Would love that.
That would be so awesome. Okay.
Rock Lords are actually pretty good toys.
They are. I was playing with some Rock Lords a couple days ago.
I mean, they turn into a turd, but they're still pretty good places for a picture figure. Better than the He-Man things.
The ones that just lean over.
Well, you know, if you remember, they had those meteor orbs later that were like little robot egg bots, and those were like reuses of Takara molds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had actually, I think the lion that was the meteor orb was recently reused again in Kids Play as the little lion egg bot.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, lion egg.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, AIDS.
So I guess that's it for this week. Do we have anything else, guys? No. That's a no.
We're all out.
Run after it.
Okay.
It took 11 years to run out of material. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. So congratulations to the winners. We will be contacting you shortly. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you for 11. Thank you for about 3 total years of content and following and sticking around, you know, for us to catch back up for 11 years. So we very much appreciate it. For the RFC crew, I am Brian Kilby. Tune in next week when we'll have more Radio Free Cybertron.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.